and use effectively is the topic of the gospel. One of our young men this week, and I'll let him tell you who he is. I won't tell who has asked what question or who has suggested what for topic unless they want me to. But I was asked, what is a good passage to focus on when witnessing to others or even studying ahead of time to witness to others? And that obviously is a question that I would have much to say about, and we're going to talk about that this morning. And I'm going to take it from the standpoint of how to be sure that you're prepared. What passages should you know succinctly and that you should have studied in your mind? Be prepared. And this is a good measure for all of our church family. There are certain passages of Scripture when we're talking about the gospel that would be good for you to be prepared to know well. Now, most of these passages that I'm going to mention this morning, you probably have memorized, and that's really good. But also memorized with the idea, even as we've been talking about in our book, and I'm going to use some material from the Foundations this morning, our book. And another nice thing about this is that we've just recently gone through this. It was the first chapter in the Foundations about salvation. But even as we've gone through that, we should have a mindset of and be thinking through God's word. Do I know these passages well enough? Are they fresh on my mind that I could use them to effectively witness to someone if the Lord would provide? Now, remember, overall, our philosophy, our discipleship culture, evangelistic culture that we're emphasizing is the idea of looking for relationships in our neighborhood, people that you can befriend or friendships that God has given you already to continue to strengthen those friendships, that as you get to know folks, the Lord would provide you an opportunity to weave in the gospel. That is our focus. However, in the midst of that, there are times that the Lord almost kind of surprises us where somebody will ask something about a question about spiritual things or maybe about the gospel, and we don't want to be caught off guard. We want to have Scripture fresh in our mind to be able to answer those things. So I'm glad for the opportunity to again remind us of these truths this morning. I will say in reaction to this though as well, we do want to make sure that we're ready to use the tool that God has given us, this Foundations book. And as folks would ask you about the gospel, certainly check with them to see if they would be ready to do a Bible study with you. And what that does is you have the Foundations book available. You can schedule a time to talk with that individual, and then you have the information in front of you. If you're caught off guard and you're not ready to say a whole lot or just nothing but a few specific truths, if you can also mention to that person, look, I've got a wonderful study that I'd like to do with you, and it's called the Foundations book, and let's get a time together over coffee or something that we can look through that. And I'd love to talk with you further about Jesus Christ and about how he has provided for us a way to have our sin taken care of and our need for forgiveness of sin. And you could represent that in a lot of different ways. But don't forget, we have a valuable tool in that Foundations, that first chapter that we really want to take advantage of, and it's a benefit to you too. But then also we should be ready with Scripture. What is a couple, we'll go a couple of succinct passages first. And really these are passages that we should be able to recall to memory very quickly. John 3:16, Again, these are the question is, how can I prepare to share the gospel with others? You would certainly want to have in your memory available the passage of John 3:16. John 3:16 in and of itself is good, but also through verse 18. We'll start there. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There you have the gospel, and about as succinctly as you can get it, talking about God's love for the world, that he, and the need for him to give his only Son, that is only begotten there, remember, is the unique relationship that the Father has with the Son, and was willing to sacrifice his Son so that to provide for eternal life for those that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that they will not perish. And again, that whole theme, right, that we've been working through in the Gospel of John, how Jesus is the way to eternal life. They will have everlasting life. Now, again, succinct. You should have that ready to recall if the Lord brings that opportunity available. But if you go further with that, 17 and 18, it also helps further address the sin question. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, why would God need to condemn the world? You can go into talking about how that we're all sinners, that we all have rejected God, that we've broken God's commandments, and that brings condemnation on us. But that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but he came to earth to die on the cross for us, that we might be saved through him. Jesus will return and will condemn the world. That is true. But verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. If he has faith and trust in Jesus, he will not face condemnation. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that makes it clear. Those that reject Jesus' offer of salvation are then continuing their condemnation. It's not that they're condemned at that point. They're already condemned. And Jesus came to offer them a way out of that condemnation, that they don't have to face eternal punishment, but that they can have eternal life with God and Jesus Christ forever, forgiveness of sin and all of that. And you can use those verses as a jumping off point to then explain more of gospel truths. And you could also say, look, there's a lot more that I would like to say about our need for Jesus Christ and how he offers forgiveness of sins. And I have a Bible study that I'd like to take you through. If you have time, let's get together. But you can know, even by these verses, as you're talking to this person, this makes clear that we need Jesus Christ, that he came to offer us salvation from our sin, that we are not condemned eternally when we put our faith and we believe in him, but that we have eternal life. There, succinctly, is the gospel. Also, another aspect in the book of Acts, and again, I'm just jumping into how passages to have ready at hand. Some of us haven't been gifted as well to remember scripture. Just even those of us, let's put it this way, even those of us that may have gone through Awana or different verse memorization programs when we were a child, there are those that are gifted and have good mind or memory in that regard and can recall details and things just like that. There are some others of us who struggle. We get distracted easily, and sometimes it's harder for us to have that recall, that verse recall. If we can have a couple passages, though, that are succinct, that we can, even those of us that struggle in that recall, in our memory recall, to have those ready, that allows us to have a springboard to jump into other things or to get back with people later on. Acts 16, is another one of those passages that just very succinctly gives us the gospel. Acts 16, verse 29. This is the conversion of the Philippian jailer. And remember how the earthquake came. Paul and Silas are there, and the earthquake broke apart the prison. The jailer is there looking for Paul and Silas and the other prisoners. He's about to take his own life. Paul and Silas keep him from doing that. And he realizes that there's something incredibly different about these men, that they would actually stay behind to talk with him, were concerned for him, that he would not get in trouble, that he would not lose his own life. And it made it very apparent to him there's something different. And he's probably been hearing them talk. I'm sure this isn't the first time that Paul and Silas there in the prison have talked to this man about salvation. And this turns everything around for him. And he says, "Sir," verse 30 of chapter 16, "what must I do to be saved?" What do you do in a moment where, and God may provide that opportunity where we don't always expect it, but there are those times where somebody just, the Lord's working on their heart and may ask you, maybe after a church service or maybe after you've been talking with them about spiritual things, "Well, what do I do to be saved?" What's your succinct answer? Paul says, and they said, verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Explain to them what faith is. That dependence on Jesus Christ alone, that believing on the truths of Jesus, that he has come to die and shed his blood for the sins of the world, and that belief, you can be saved from the consequences of our sin. Again, this is a short verse that is a springboard for you to share other truths as well. So, that's a good starting point. And again, the idea is also to have encourage them to do a Bible study together. But if you realize that maybe that Bible that they have their further questions, but you may not have opportunity for that Bible study right away, Ephesians chapter 2. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I will say this as well as we get ready to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Now, this is a passage that should be very familiar to us from the standpoint of we've been through this book recently. So hopefully it has encouraged you to know Ephesians better. For those of you that have a hard time remembering large passages of Scripture, maybe a shorter passage like this, that you should be prepared to study through. And as you study through that, a shorter passage like this will still have those truths fresh on your mind, that you could quickly take someone to a passage like this and work through that and be able to work through the truths with them. Some of you may not be as gifted to take them through the Romans road and succinctly, quickly take them through all the passages in Romans. As you work through, and you may not have time to do that. If you're having just a shorter conversation, this comes up to say to somebody, "Well, let me take you to Romans, and let me in the next hour or so work you through Romans 1-6. Now, some of those verses we should have, you know, really, as you become more mature in your relationship with Jesus Christ, some of those verses in Romans, you should be able to do recall pretty quickly. But I will admit, sometimes we get caught off guard. We're being distracted. It's hard to remember. Oh, it was Romans. Oh. So if you could think Ephesians chapter 2 and be ready to explain this to them. And Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 here. "And ye hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." This helps you jump right into, why do we need spiritual renewal? The idea of quicken is spiritual renewal, spiritual life. Maybe you've just gone through those verses in John 3, the verses in Acts that we just talked about. Now you want to let them know more detail. why they need spiritual life that Jesus Christ offers. Well, it's because we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Paul quickly gets into this here. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worked in the children of disobedience. You were children of the prince of the power of the air, the children of disobedience. You were rejecting God. You were not his children. You had sin. Among whom also we all had conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This basically just succinctly allows you to dive right in and say, we were people that you need spiritual renewal because you are a sinner. Everything that you do, your whole pattern of life, that's what that conversation means. Your whole pattern of life is sin. Even when we try to do good things, it's still sin to us. And you can continue to talk about why we're sinners. This just helps you to jump right in and be able to explain that. We were the children of wrath. Everything that we do is sin, and therefore we need to be made new. And there, verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Because, and that quickly allows you to talk about God's grace. God's love in John 3:16. Now talk about the fact that God, even though we didn't deserve it because we had rebelled, we were a rebellious people that didn't love him. He loved us, and because of his mercy, and because he loved us, even when, verse 5, we were dead in sins, hath he renewed us. Well, how do we, from that death, that state of death, spiritual death, how do we find ourselves in a state of spiritual renewal and where we have spiritual life, all because of God's grace, because of what Christ has done? And again, I'm using this word a lot today, but the idea of very quickly, succinctly getting to the heart of it: by grace ye are saved. It's through Christ. It's by grace. Here we have the idea of there's no works that we can do to merit God's grace, to merit this. There's nothing that we can do as sinners to reach God. That very quickly takes care of that whole argument within just a few verses here. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And it continues to talk about the grace of God. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of our works, lest any man should boast. Again, here we have very quickly described our need for Jesus and the fact that we can't. It just totally decimates the idea of work salvation. There's no way. And that's one of the main things that you'll deal with people. They think they're good enough to get to heaven. You go to Ephesians 2, you quickly have the gospel here, and you quickly have that argument dealt with, that anyone can do enough good or do good works to have that spiritual renewal, to be forgiven of their sins. Paul makes it very clear here. It's not possible. It's only through Jesus Christ. And that will then, as you're working through some of these shorter verses, you can be praying, Lord, give me more opportunities. Pray that this person that you're talking to will have opportunity to maybe do the Bible study with you, which then you can go into more detail in the book of Romans. And let me just, as we're finishing up here, let me encourage you as another aspect of this question. What can I do to be prepared to share the gospel? Folks, in a longer study, I would really encourage you to take time to study the book of Romans, specifically Romans 1 through 6. You know this, I'm sure, at this point, But the gospel is clearly laid out. The plan of salvation is clearly laid out. We can take a couple verses out of Romans and have what's called the Romans Road, right? And have those ready. And we really should, we should know the Romans Road. We have in tracts and different things access to that. And so we should be prepared with that. But really, I would encourage you, as you're growing in your walk with the Lord, get a good commentary. I can very easily suggest some commentaries on the book of Romans that will allow you to get in depth and study Romans, at least Romans 1 through 6, and have a better, more in-depth study of the gospel yourself. The more you're familiar and the more you study those chapters, but the more you study those, the more the Holy Spirit will have your mind refreshed and ready to talk about the gospel. And your mind will be prepared for that. And if somebody catches you off guard because you've been studying the gospel and Romans and other places in Scripture, you'll be more ready at a moment's notice, which is really, right, when we talk about in Ephesians, the armor of the Lord, being able to handle our swords well. The more we study God's word, the more we study about the gospel. Now, specifically, I'm talking here about Romans 1 through 6. The more ready we'll be to wield that gospel sword. So I would encourage you, if you come across words, there are a lot of words that Paul uses that talk about the gospel in detail. Do you know what justification means? Do you know repentance means? Do you know, can you explain the wrath of God and why the wrath of God is upon us? As you study Romans and you come across some of these terms, come and you're kind of wondering, well, I'm still kind of foggy on what that means, feel free to ask me. We'd love to work through that with you more. I want our people to be prepared for these opportunities. So really, in the end, as the Lord gives you opportunities, you're not intimidated, is the key to all this, to share your faith. But you're ready. You're ready with a couple verses that just kind of introduce it. You're ready with a succinct passage like Ephesians to quickly get to the heart of some things about how we can't work our way to heaven. You're ready to invite someone to do a Bible study on salvation in the Foundations book. And ultimately, you're ready with a study in Romans and other passages to even eventually, without the help of a Bible study, you can still be refreshed and ready to explain more of the gospel as we continue to mature in our faith. So again, that's an answer to how can I prepare myself to be ready to share the gospel? Well, there's a lot we can do, and I hope that that will help all of us to be more prepared for that. One thing, and this is a good point to add what I was going to say a little bit earlier, something that's been bugging me. There was one passage that I meant to mention this morning as far as the short verses on salvation that are easy to remember that we ought to have ready ready and available in our minds. Is from Acts 20:21. Paul says, I testified to both Jew and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is important that we include repentance even early on. And we don't want people to think that, oh, you just get saved and God has a wonderful life of no trouble and no problems. It is a life of commitment. And the book of Acts numerous times talks about the need to repent, turn from your sin, in other words, and believe. So even early on, don't forget another quick, easy, accessible verse about that verse in repentance and faith in Christ is another good one.